Your voice level looks good, but go ahead and introduce yourself to me, please.
Sure. Yeah, I'm Paul Sundberg. I'm a veterinarian, the Vice President of Science and Technology for the National Pork Board.
All right, Paul, we've seen the end of summer and the fall has just begun. How did the PEDV cases nationwide stack up this summer? I know there was talk that you were expecting fewer cases.
Yeah, we were expecting that because of experience with TGE, a cousin coronavirus to the PED virus. And even though we didn't have a lot of experience, it's only been here for now approximately 18 months or so, we didn't know exactly how it would act. But it did act as we expected. And the number of new infections over the summer thankfully decreased dramatically. And so that's a good thing. But we continue to have some new infections out in the countryside. So the virus is still here, but we have had the expected, thankfully, decrease over the summer in those new infections.
And a lot of that it has to do primarily with the fact that the virus doesn't like warmer weather, right?
Well, that's what we expected, and that's what came out. Coronaviruses generally, as a group, don't like to have heat and dry. And so anything that will give them either a warm environment or a dry environment generally will help to keep them from proliferating and from being a problem.
Now, there was talk early this summer about concern over more re-breaks where the virus had shown its ugly head and then there were deaths and then they got things under control and then there were re-breaks. Have you seen those as expected?
Yeah, that's an issue of immunity in the sows, immunity in the breeding herd, and there have been some re-breaks. In most of those cases, the immunity has held such that the re-break wasn't as severe as the initial infection. One of the things that we're trying to do is understand that better and doing research into the immunity of the sow herd and trying to understand how better to affect the immunity of the sow herd to either stimulate it or maintain it and thereby maintain the protection to the little pigs. That's a very active area of research right now.
Okay. Well, and since we last spoke, there's been another conditional approval for a vaccine. So there are two commercial vaccines available. How do those fit in with the suggested or recommended practice of feedback to boost immunity?
Yeah, well, the vaccines are new. They're out in the countryside. It's not unlike just the PED virus from last summer that we've had very little experience. And I think it's safe to say that the jury is still out on the on just how much a vaccine is going to be able to help. There are reports that it might give some benefits to those herds that have already broken and to help booster and maintain that immunity. But it's really too early to give a lot of information about that. We just don't have enough information yet gathered as far as the results of the trials in using those vaccines out in the countryside. The one thing I think that is safe to say about vaccine use is that the vaccine isn't going to be expected to be a silver bullet. We aren't going to be able to just vaccinate our way out of this. We're going to have to work at all of the other things that are hard to do, and that's maintain biosecurity, it's maintain our practices to protect our herds, and also it's to help with biocontainment if we get the infection. All of those types of recommendations can all be found on the pork.org website. We've also mailed a booklet to our list of pork producers that are in the country directly to them in preparation for this fall and this winter. We want to make sure that everybody is aware of the good practices and biosecurity practices that are recommended.
Yes, and we've also had the USDA require reporting, mandatory reporting. Has that made a difference?
Well, what it has done is it has helped us to understand better the breadth and the locations of infections. It hasn't really made a difference in the infection itself and being able to manage it. The mandatory reporting is a reporting of the premises identification for submissions to the laboratory, and they're working through that program and they're gathering that information. So certainly that just in having the locations to help analyze the infection from an epidemiological standpoint is helpful, and that program continues.
Okay, you said the breadth and the locations. Anything new there?
No, there isn't. There isn't anything new there. Certainly, this virus continues to be located in the swine-dense areas of the country. But even within those areas, there are pockets that have not been affected. And so there really isn't anything new on that, no update on that, other than what we've already been experiencing.
Okay. And you mentioned looking ahead to fall. We expect cooler temperatures because that's part of fall and winter. So are you bracing for another big uptick, or what do you expect?
Yeah, well, just like the virus in the summer, coronavirus doesn't like hot and doesn't like dry. As we close up the barns and as it gets cool and cold weather and as the humidity within the barns is going to increase, you could expect that we may have an increase of infections, an increase of transmission this fall and this winter. We are working extremely hard to get information out, to get research information, get practice information out to the producers and to the veterinarians to help manage that for this winter. Our goal is to hold that peak of incidence down, hold that peak of infection down that we saw last winter, to hold that down to much less than what we had last winter. We certainly expect there will be some that will come back, and it's difficult to predict, of course, but our hope is that we're going to be able to get through this winter with an infection rate that is much less than last. It's yet to be determined, and I think the tail of the tape is going to be probably about next May when we have this next fall and winter past us, and we can try to analyze how we've done.
What does the research show now that it didn't show last winter?
There's a lot of things that have been going on in our research areas. We started out in the summer with diagnostics, with pathogenicity, with how this virus interacts with the pig, and how it survives in the environment. Last fall, we worked on the sow immunity issue and the breeding herd immunity issue. And so this spring, we continued that breeding herd immunity, but we also added the risk factors of transmission by feed and how that process could fit into transmitting the virus around the country. I guess that's probably one of the new areas of research that we've got going. And although we don't have all of that completed yet, it is such that we're working with the feed industry itself, and they've been very cooperative and have worked very hard with us, even providing money to leverage their money with our money to answer feed-related research questions. One of the outcomes is that so far that you can expect that it's possible to transmit PED by feed. It's not necessarily an ingredient problem or ingredient process, but it's more of the process of the feed system itself. There are ingredients, there's processing, and then there's transportation of the feed afterwards. It's possible for this virus to contaminate feed systems post-processing and transmit. That's one thing that we've been able to show through research. And that's something that then we have to pay attention to as far as the biosecurity practices in the feed processing facilities themselves, as well as with the delivery and the interaction on the farm of the feed delivery with the farm itself.
Okay, I want to make sure that I completely understand this. The post-processing, tell me how that can be, how contamination can occur then. Like, walk me through. I need to see a picture of this.
Sure. Well, the surveys that have been done after infection on the farm, the environmental surveys. So samples have been taken around the farm in various areas after an infection. And after an infection, this virus contaminates the farm a wide number of places. And it's not unheard of that any feed delivery truck or other service truck or anything else, other traffic on the farm, could carry PED off of the farm and post-infection. If that feed delivery truck goes back to the feed processing plant and then contaminates the feed processing plant, then post-processing of the feed could get contaminated from that carrying back to the plant and carry that out to the next farm. This is a fecal-oral virus, and certainly one of the things that goes in orally into a pig is feed, and so we have to pay attention to the role of feed in that transmission. And again, it's not necessarily an ingredient issue, but we're seeing that more and more our focus is coming to post-processing contamination as a way that this virus could be spread around the country.
Okay, well, it sounds like it comes down to biosecurity then, just like it does with any vehicles coming in and out of the farm. So the fact that you said it's not necessarily an ingredient, we know that there's some spray-dried blood that is used in some of the feed. So has that been completely ruled out?
It hasn't been completely ruled out, nor has it been completely ruled in. One of the things that we do as far as animal health research is look at the epidemiology of the virus. And that means how it interacts with the environment and how it interacts with the animal. And those epidemiological types of studies tend to give us relationships, tend to point out relationships. And then it's really up to the researchers and the research community to do better research into those relationships to see if they're valid or not. So that's really the spot that we're at with, for example, spray-dried plasma. We're not sure that that's really a valid risk area. We're doing some research in that, like I said, with cooperation of the feed industry because they want those answers as well, and that's going on right now. But as you said, it's not necessarily even those epidemiological investigations point out that the relationships of the feed with infection isn't necessarily ingredients, but it can be anywhere along that whole feed supply chain.
Okay. In summary, is there anything else you'd like to add? For example, what you kind of said, maybe summarize what you know now as compared to what you. What does it all come down to? Is still the message from veterinarians and experts in this field, biosecurity, is that number one? Feedback number two? Are they both number one? What is it?
Yeah, I think it all comes down to working with a veterinarian to harden the system as best as possible. We're doing research and working on risk factors, and those risk factors and all that information can be found on the pork.org website, and that's updated every 2 weeks. The American Association of Swine Veterinarians is involved in this, and we get that information out to AASV. We want the veterinarians involved. We want the producers involved. And it comes down to hardening your system, identifying the risk factors within your system and addressing those, whatever they be. And so that really is hardening the system means biosecurity. Biosecurity and setting a clean, dirty line on the farm itself is probably the biggest factor that we have in protection from PED. This virus, it doesn't take very much for this virus to infect a pig. It is easily transmitted, it's easily infective, and it will affect pigs. And our best defense against it right now is interaction with the veterinarian, review, regular review, not just assumption, but review and implementation of biosecurity practices. It's one thing to have the biosecurity practices on a piece of paper or in your head or written or on a shelf, but it's another to implement it every day. That's probably the most important thing. There can be no relaxation of implementing biosecurity every day on the farm.
Okay. And I want to make sure I get you saying something about the practice of feedback.
Okay. All right. Post-infection, post-outbreak, I shouldn't say post-infection, but post-outbreak, one of the common tools that we have is to boost your immunity, to make sure that the sow herd, the breeding herd, has a uniform level of immunity, because we want to make sure that the level of immunity in the sow herd is uniform, so all of the animals are protected, not just some of them, but all of them are. And one of the practices that is used in that is to take the virus that has caused the outbreak, to cause the infection, and expose the sows, the breeding herd, to that virus, to purposely expose the breeding herd to that virus. In concept, it's not really unlike what people do with an outbreak of chickenpox in kids. When I was a kid and my brother got chickenpox, my mom made sure that I was playing with him when he had chickenpox so I could get it, so we'd all get it at the same time, get over it, and go on. It's not unlike that. It's a building of immunity, a uniform immunity in the sow herd, and that's purposeful exposure to the PED virus in the sow herd. One of the areas of research that we're looking at is the effectiveness of that immunity and how long we can expect that to last. That's a very important question to answer in the issue of whether or not we're at risk for rebreaks in previously exposed herds this fall and winter.
Okay. And finally, any hard numbers you have for me? I've been seeing some numbers. 8 million pigs have died so far from the disease. What do you have?
Yeah, right now, I'll tell you that all of those numbers about the number of farms that are infected and the number of pigs, the number of mortalities, the number of pigs that have been infected, all of that, those are all estimates. And I don't really have any update or any data on that to refute them or to confirm them. Those are all estimates based on the best information we have, and so that's what we're left with. Unfortunately, right now, there is a lot of estimates, and we're doing some planning for the occurrence. If we get another disease like PED that affects our herd, not a PED disease, but for another emerging disease, what we're trying to do is do some pre-planning now. We learned a lesson from PED that we need some planning for this type of thing so we have better tools to manage if there is an outbreak of a new emerging disease. One of the things is going to be able to capture better data about the number of farms, the number of pigs, and how widely that's distributed after an infection.
And that's where the mandatory reporting comes in?
That's one of the pieces of the mandatory reporting. The mandatory reporting, though, doesn't provide information about the number of pigs. It does provide information about location.
All right, sir. Thank you so much for the update.
Okay. All right, very good. Thanks for the opportunity. It's really important to get this information out to producers this fall and this winter, because we need to get as much as we can right in front of them.